Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Well, I don't know how many of you tried this trick with your parents, but I used to do this often. I would go to my mother and I would ask a question, something that I wanted, right? And then what would happen is oftentimes she would say one of two things. Actually, sometimes it was three things, but more often than not, it was no or ask your father, right? And then so then what I'd do is I'd go ask my dad, hey, dad. And then what would he usually say is either no or ask your mother, right? Yeah, what did our mother say? Yes, yeah, exactly. What did your mother say? I'd go ask my dad, hoping he'd say yes, and then maybe he didn't know that I'd already asked mom, sometimes even when she'd already said no. I know that can shock some of you, but I might have done that once or twice. But let me ask you a question. If you absolutely knew that God would answer one prayer today, what would you ask for? And really think about that. Because Jesus invites us to ask, seek, and knock, but not just for anything. He's inviting us into a deep, trusting relationship with a Father who knows what's best for us. So many times I, as a kid, or maybe you as well, would ask our parents for things that were not only just not good, but were actually bad for us. So what would we ask for if we believed that God truly hears and answers? Well, this morning we are getting close to the end of our study on the Sermon on the Mount. We've been going through Matthews 5, 6, and 7 as Jesus delivered the most famous sermon ever preached. We've been going through that verse by verse through there, and we're coming towards the home stretch of this. And this morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7. So if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there. As we've been doing each week, I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to ask us all to stand as I read this morning. We hear Jesus' words here in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or what person is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf of bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake, will he? So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for these words from your Son that remind us and teach us, Lord, that you are standing there waiting for us to ask. And so I ask this morning, Lord, that as we spend a few minutes going through these verses, many of which are familiar to us, Lord, that we would open our hearts to hear what it is that you have for us, and that we would open our hearts to be able to ask you for the things, Lord, that we know we desperately need. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, and the church together said, amen. You guys may be seated. We're going to start in Matthew 7, verse 7. We're going to look at this. And the first starts off, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. This is another one of those verses similar to what we saw last week that's often taken out of context. There's a meme that went around years ago, and I've shared it several times in my Facebook feed before. It says, I can do all things through a verse taken out of context, right? If many of you are familiar with that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this verse is often a passage that's used to say, well, anything I ask of God, he will give me. Often that's called the name it and claim it ministry, right? Or often wealth and prosperity, as we think, I ask God for money, God's gonna give me money. I ask God for a new car, he's gonna give me a new car. Anything that I ask, it says I will receive it. But we need to look at the context of what Jesus is talking about. See, Jesus is preaching, as we know, one long sermon here. We might have broken it up in different weeks, but he didn't break that up in different weeks. And if you have your Bible open, you see that your passages here are broken up into little sections with little headings on the top of it. But that's not the way that Jesus preached this. And so we've got these headings to help us understand the flow and to find certain sections. But these words that Jesus is saying come right after the words he just said before that. So let's look at what we looked at last week to see some context for what this means to ask, seek, and knock. This is the passage we looked at last week. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, the log is in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. As the passage we looked at last week. And I don't know about you, but as I wrestled with those words this week, we talked about it in our growth group, and as I thought about during the week, one thought kept coming up. This is hard. This is hard for us to do. How can I do this? How can I really be a person who doesn't judge, who has the verse or the word that we looked at last week, discernment? When we look at the previous verse, we can't help but ask, how can I do this? How can I get that? And here in verse 7 through 12, Jesus gives us the answer. This is the answer to the question that we're knowingly asking. Jesus knows that we're asking when he says, don't judge people. Take the speck out of your own eye. Don't throw your pearls before pigs. And of course, the listener then and us now are thinking, how can I possibly do that? Well, Jesus knows the answer, and he gives it to us. And the answer is to ask. To ask. You want to know how you can judge rightly? How you can grow in your discernment? You want to be able to help those around you in love, but first removing the plank out of your own eye, and then helping them in their hurt to heal? You want to be able to discern when you should be able to walk away from someone that is not ready to hear the gospel, who might do you damage. How do we know how to do that? Jesus says, ask. Jesus gives us a great way to remember this in those words. You might have seen this before, ask. You've probably seen this before. Ask, A-S-K. Of course, that's not the word that Jesus used in Greek, but our English word is ask. And it's interesting, I don't know if God planned it this way or not, but that ask spells the three things he tells us to do, to ask, to seek, and to knock. And there's a progressive nature to this, a progressive nature. And he says, don't just ask, seek. Don't just seek, knock. See, asking shows humility. Just like when we would ask our parents for things. Sometimes it's because we wanted something, but we often realize that if we had to ask for it, it was because we couldn't provide it. It showed a humility in asking for that. Kids ask if they're there yet, right? How many of you remember those trips like that? Dad, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? It's because they have no idea where we're going or how we're getting there. And so they ask because it shows the humility that they don't know the answer to that. Kids ask us for things because they realize they're dependent on us. And there's a humility involved in asking. But see, too many of us don't or won't ask God for things because of pride. Because of pride. It keeps us from even asking. We think, I can do this on my own. Or pride, kind of the opposite of pride, right? Thinking so highly of ourselves. The opposite of that is thinking too much of ourselves, and we think, I can't possibly do this. Jesus, he doesn't even care. He doesn't care for me. The root of both of those is a misunderstanding of pride. Now, the word here, ask and seek and knock, in the Greek is using the present imperative, which for you English majors, you know that a good translation of this, and some of your Bibles actually say it this way, is keep on asking. It's not just a one-time thing. Keep on asking. Also keep on seeking and keep on knocking, but keep on asking, because asking is only the beginning. Jesus next invites us to seek. Now, seeking goes beyond asking. It involves an action. Seeking isn't something you can do just without any action at all. Seeking shows that we're invested. It means that we're taking a step. We're taking some ownership in this ourselves. We're putting our faith into action. So you ask, but then you have to seek. You have to get involved. Martin Luther once said, pray is if everything depends on God, then work is if everything depends on you. When we seek, we demonstrate that we're not just sitting around waiting for God to drop things into our lap. We're actively pursuing his will. Think about how much more meaningful something becomes to you when you're invested in it. We know this when we're raising our kids. We want them to take ownership of something. They become part of it, and it becomes a deeper meaning for them. And seeking requires us really to have some skin in the game, is a phrase we might use. Seeking is the next step after asking. It's more than just asking. It involves actively pursuing the answer. See, asking shows humility, but seeking shows ownership, that we're doing this with God. We're submitting to him, and we're seeking his will. When we seek, we're putting effort into finding what we're asking for. We're saying to God, I'm committed to pursuing your way no matter the cost. There's an old song from the 80s, one of my favorite songs from the group Extreme, called More Than Words, right? Do you guys remember that song? It says it's more than just the words that we say. That's the asking. We want to seek. We want to be actively involved. Those of you who are married, you don't want your spouse just to say they love you. You want them to seek after you, to pursue it, to be involved in it. When we seek, we're aligning our will with God's will, expecting him to show up in ways that we knew we couldn't have planned, but we're expecting him to show. Think about a farmer who prays for a good crop. Lord, please give us a good crop, but they don't plant any seed. We'd think that farmer didn't know how to farm. See, when we seek, we're planting those seeds, expecting God to bring the harvest. We do our part, but we're trusting God to do his. Seeking shows that we're willing to put in the effort, even as we depend on God's power to bring the result. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. See, seeking is about being willing to move forward with God's leading. Maybe you're asking for wisdom or clarity about a situation. Maybe about a situation that has to do with judging. For something that you need in your life. Not just a physical need, but a spiritual need. Are you willing to open up your Bible, to seek counsel from wise believers, to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you? Those are all ways that we seek. We're actively involved in the process. Seek, expecting God to work. And next, Jesus calls us to knock. And knocking requires persistence. When we knock on someone's door, you're trying to get their attention, right? This isn't a timid one-time tap. You don't just, no, we knock. And Jesus is encouraging us again to keep knocking, to keep going to God, even when we don't see answers right away. When I was young, we used to do these door-to-door fundraisers. I don't know how many of you have done those. They don't do them much as they used to. Selling candy was often a big one, or sometimes these weird cakes and different stuff that you'd go and be able to order it and then deliver it. And the way it would work in my house was my parents would sit, drive, you know, they would open the door and stay in the car, and they would say, okay, Stephen, go. And I would go up to the front door, and I would usually do this. I'd knock very lightly. No one's home, and I'd get, because I was shy. And I didn't really want someone to come to the door. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying just tap lightly, and if I don't show up in 5 seconds, turn around and walk away. No. Knock on the door and keep knocking. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not something we should do just once and then say, oh, God didn't answer, so I'm walking away. We're to knock with expectation, assuming, trusting he's going to open the door. And he'll respond in his perfect timing. Now, truthfully, sometimes it feels like we're knocking at that door for a long time. Many of you have prayers that you've prayed for years, maybe decades. Jesus says, keep knocking at the door. After calling us to ask, to seek, and knock, Jesus wants to tell us how he's going to answer. He goes on in verse 9. In case we didn't get it, he says, or what person is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, Jesus isn't promising that we'll get whatever we want, but he does promise that our Heavenly Father gives good things. Now, I realize that this verse in particular, he's talking about children and fathers giving good things, is difficult for many of us. Not every one of us had a father who gave us good things. And you might even have had a father who did exactly what Jesus is saying fathers shouldn't do, give you things that hurt you. So when we read this, we have to assume two things. That's that number one, our God as our Father is good. Our Heavenly Father is good. And number two, that what we're asking for is good. Now, some commentators, when they've looked at these verses, have thought, this is an interesting illustration that Jesus is using, bread and rocks. And it might be because of this. When we think of loaves of bread, we think of these square rectangle things sometimes, you know, that we buy at the supermarket. But bread in Jesus' time looked more like this. And honestly, this could be mistaken for a rock, couldn't it? Jesus is saying, no, you wouldn't give your kid a rock when what they really need is bread. And sometimes we ask for this, and he's saying, a good father, our Heavenly Father, won't give you a stone when you ask for this. But here's something else that I found interesting as I was thinking about this. Some of us actually want the rock. We don't know better. We often go to God asking, seeking, and knocking for things that will not do us good, will actually do us harm. Sometimes we want what isn't best for us, and God in his wisdom gives us what we need instead. This is tough. This is tough when sometimes we think we understand what we need, what we want, and God says, no, that's a stone. That's not a fish. Would you think that's a snake? So we have to assume that God is good. And then in order for us to be able to take this verse and really run with it, that ask and seek and knock, and whatever you ask for, you'll receive. And when you seek, you'll find. When you knock, the door will be opened. We have to be asking and seeking and knocking for something that's good, something that's holy. These verses help explain why Jesus' words in verse 7 and 8 don't mean what we often think they mean, which is that we'll just get whatever we want. Because how many times have you prayed for something that wasn't in your best interest? I know I have. The things that I thought I needed, things that I thought I wanted, but God in his infinite wisdom knew so much more. There's a song that I grew up with. Many of you guys might know this, Garth Brooks' Unanswered Prayers. How many of you guys know that song? Yeah. This beautiful song about how this man prayed and prayed for this woman that he wanted to marry, but that wasn't who God had planned. He had planned someone else that was better. That's sometimes how we approach prayer. We think we know what we need, and God says, no, I will give you what's best. But what if God always gave us what we wanted? What if God always gave us what we wanted? Do you remember the movie that came out many years ago with Jim Carrey called Bruce Almighty? In this movie where he was granted by God, played by Morgan Freeman, to just be God for a while, just have his powers. And in some of these scenes, Jim Carrey would just give out whatever people would pray for. He would just give them. And he thought he was doing good, but in the end, that just led to chaos. People's lives were destroyed, and accidents were happening, and all sorts of things were happening because God doesn't always just give us what we want. I think of another song. Last week, I quoted the great philosopher Michael Jackson. This week, the great philosopher Mick Jagger. You can't always get what you want, right? But you get what you need. And I don't think that Mick Jagger was thinking about Jesus when he said that, but there's some truth to those words. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We have to once again assume the Lord is good. He's not going to give us things that harm us. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. But James also goes on in chapter 4. He talks about us asking sometimes for things with the wrong motives or things that are not going to do us good, things that aren't good. He says, you do not ask or have because you do not ask. But you ask and you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives so that you may spend what you request on your pleasures. We have to go to God with our asking, our seeking, and knocking from a place of humility, from a place of diligence, but also from a holy place, realizing that not everything that we desire is good for us. Jesus ends this section in your Bible. It might be titled The Golden Rule, something we often have heard before. And as I was studying this, there's some thought that this title, The Golden Rule, I mean, Jesus doesn't call it that, that the Golden Rule actually comes from the Roman emperor in about 200 years after Jesus lived, who was not a Christian, but was so impressed with this teaching of Jesus that he had it inscribed in gold on the wall of his chamber. And thus this came to be known as the Golden Rule. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Or you might have grown up hearing this, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In this phrase, this would have hit the people that heard this in a different, unique way than it does for us. Because Jesus is actually using a play on words here, that a phrase that had been used for hundreds of years by different philosophers and priests and rabbis. Different religions even had their own take on this, but it was presented differently. It was presented in the negative. Don't do something to others if you don't want it done to you. Don't harm your neighbor because you don't want to be harmed. That was the phrase that was often used. Rabbi Hillel said, what is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow creatures. But Jesus turned this principle upside down. If you remember, he started off the Sermon on the Mount with what we often call the Beatitudes. These things that we look at as from our human perspective, and Jesus presents them as the opposite. Jesus is doing the same thing here, almost like a you have heard it was said, right? You've heard it said, don't harm people if you don't want to be harmed, but I'm telling you something different. Jesus turns this principle around and says, do good to others as you would have them do good to you. He's reworking the greatest commandment here again. Previous verses talked about the love of our Father God, which inspires us then to love in return. Although we can't forget about the second part of the command to love others. See, we can't ask for good things from God and treat our neighbors poorly. Jesus is saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. as your heavenly Father has done unto you. In asking for good things from our Father, we must treat others as we hope that God the Father will treat us when we're asking, seeking, and knocking. And just as God graciously responds to our petitions, we too are called to respond with grace and goodness towards others. Since we've received kindness and care from God, we're called to extend the same kindness and care to others, doing for them what we would want done for us. In essence, it's a call to treat others as we've experienced God's treatment towards us. And before we walk away from this passage here and move on to the next section next week, I want to give you some alliterations. So I was thinking of this word ask and seek and knock. Some of you love these. I know some of you like less can't stand alliterations. He told me one time he doesn't like alliterations. So if you don't like alliterations, you don't have to write these down. But here's some things that might help you as you're thinking about this week, about asking, seeking, and knocking. To always ask, assuming abundance. Always ask, assuming abundance. Ask with confidence. Knowing God has an abundance of good things. And what good things have you not asked God for? Start asking them. Always ask, assuming abundance. Our next letter, seek. Seek to see as he sees. Seek to see as he sees. The more that we seek after God, the more that we're actively involved in pursuing God, the more our hearts align with his. So we need to seek to see the situations and the people through his eyes. And we'll be amazed at how he transforms our vision. The more we seek after him and get to know him, the more that we pray, the more we're able to recognize his voice. Seek to see as he sees. And finally, keep knocking, knowing Christ's kindness. I know Christ doesn't start with a K, but sound is similar. Keep knocking, knowing Christ's kindness. Keep knocking because we know that God is trustworthy and kind. He doesn't just tolerate us. Sometimes my parents, when I ask those questions, they were just tolerating me. That's not the way it is with God. He doesn't get tired of us asking. He invites us to ask, to seek, and to keep knocking, knowing Christ's kindness. He wants to respond. He hears every knock, every prayer, every whisper, every shout. And when we knock with faith, we find a Father who opens the door with his arms wide open. So don't give up. God's timing is perfect. And every time you knock, you're reminding yourself of his faithful love. So I want to leave you with a question this morning to think about this week. What good things in your life are you not praying for? What good things that God wants to give you are you not praying for? What good things are you not asking and seeking and knocking? What are the areas in your life where you're waiting for answers, but maybe you haven't started seeking his wisdom actively? Where you've stopped knocking, thinking that maybe God isn't listening. And I want to challenge you today, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Our assurance is that God hears and he responds, giving us what's good in his good and perfect timing. Let's ask for things that deepen our walk with him, seek to know him more deeply, and keep knocking, knowing that his kindness will always answer. Keep asking. Keep seeking and keep knocking. And the results when we do that, we'll get more good gifts than we could ever ask or imagine. God promises to give us anything that's truly good for us spiritually if we keep asking. And so I want to ask you this morning, if you haven't experienced the new life that Jesus offers, know that God is ready to give it to you. When you genuinely seek it. You can do that today. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. We've got our prayer room open to the right here. If you want to know more about how you can be someone who's in relationship with Jesus, you can find out more. You can ask, seek, and knock, and he will open that door for you today, right now. Or maybe you've already made that decision. Maybe you're already following Jesus, but maybe you recognize that you're lacking in some areas. Maybe generosity or kindness or judging. There's some things that you need to ask and seek and knock. You need to ask God to give you these good things that he so desperately wants to give you. Not money, not riches, not fame, but these spiritual qualities that he lays before us and says, if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If we start praying earnestly for these things, asking, seeking, and knocking with an open heart, God will faithfully shape us and give them to us. He can turn us into people of truth, people who give freely, people who don't lash out in anger, all the things that we've talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. See, imagine if we prayed for spiritual growth with the same intensity that we pray for our physical needs. I often, recently, you guys know my wife has gone through a struggle with cancer, on my knees praying for that, praying for her healing. And that's a good thing. But what if we were so fervent in praying for the spiritual needs of our lives, of the people around us? Not just for physical healing, as important as that is, but if we went to God the Father, asking for this bread, the bread that he wants to give us in our life. What if we would actively ask and seek and knock for spiritual things as much as we do physical? What might God do in and through us if we did that? What kind of transformation would we see in our hearts and in this church if we were asking and seeking and knocking for those spiritual blessings that God wants to give us? If we sought after the things that would bring us closer to him. And this is the invitation that Jesus gives us all, to ask, to seek, to knock, and trust that our loving Father will give us what we need most, and that's him. Let's stand together and pray. God, we thank you for these words, for the challenge for each of us to keep asking, to keep seeking, and to keep knocking at your door. And God, we thank you. We thank you knowing that you are standing behind that door waiting for us to come to you. So God, if there's any that need to come to you for the first time, grab a hold of their hearts this morning and let today be the day that they make the decision to follow you. Lord, for those of us who have made that decision, may we keep asking and seeking and knocking for the good things that you want in our lives. God, lay upon our hearts the things that we should be, the good things that we should be actively seeking and asking and knocking for this week. We thank you for the promises that you make to be our good Father, who has nothing but good things in store for us, Lord, if we just ask, seek, and knock. In the name of Jesus, we pray.